Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
And class resentment.
She's not bitter.
Is a lot what, and anti-intellectualism and elitism.
Who says I'm not bitter?
Is what is driving many of these anti-establishment, which are Trump voters,
right.
Or anti-establishment
Absolutely.
Voters.
Just maybe not as bitter as I'm going to be 10 years from now. But
live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
As you know, Iran launched an unprecedented aerial attack against Israel, and we mounted an unprecedented military effort to defend Israel.
John, has President Biden considered maybe beefing up the public Iran posture to be more than just one word?
You're referring to don't.
We'll say
don't.
Ah, do your worst. Very well. If you will not assist us voluntarily,
don't.
No! Never! No shrub!
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
And welcome to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Toby Leary, sitting in for Howie, who will be back tomorrow. So I'm with you till the 7 o'clock hour, and we have a lot to talk about today. We're going to do some more gun talk in the 5 o'clock hour. I have a great guest coming on at 5:30, Mark Smith from the Four Boxes Diner. He's a professor, a constitutional law professor. He's a fascinating guy. So I'm really looking forward to talking about that, getting his take on a few things. And, it's funny because I just was reading the text line and 508 says, Grace and Toby, this scenario is one of the season's episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Larry was so mad and complaining that a woman had her window shade up. And he said he was being blinded. I haven't seen that, but that's pretty funny considering what we just talked about. So that's pretty good. So you can also participate in the text line if you text Howie to 617-213-1066. But if you want to be on the line with me today, it's 844-500-4242 is the number, and I will take your call. So one of the things I wanted to shift gears a little bit on and talk about is, we got a bunch of cuts about this as well, how the media is literally giddy about this trial in New York City. Like, there was so many cuts. Why don't you play cut 18, Matt, if you can?
A very long time in coming. The fact that it's taken so long is testament to how Trump has been able to manipulate the Justice Department, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the U.S. criminal justice system broadly to his own benefit. I feel like it's almost a miracle that we got this case into trial at all. The fact that there are three more stacked up behind it just tells you about the litany of alleged criminality that this candidate drags with him into this election season.
And then we got cut 8, Maggie Haberman on CNN.
He appeared to be asleep, and you know, repeatedly his head would fall down. There have been other moments in other trials, like the Agent Carroll trial, which was around the corner in January, where he appeared very still and seemed as if he might be sleeping, but then he would move. This time, he didn't pay attention to a note that his lawyer, Todd Blanche, passed him. His jaw kept falling on his chest, and his mouth kept going slack. Now, you know, sometimes people do fall asleep during court proceedings, but it's notable given the intensity of this morning and a lot of what was being argued.
It actually reached a crescendo if you look at the Joy Reid show and everything. She got into this whole, I'm not even going to bother you with the cut of it, look it up on your own if you want, but where she was proud that a black man was going after Trump and, you know, talking about Letitia James and black women going after him. And she's like, I'm proud to be a black woman in America, someone who's going to take him down. And he's here to exploit the black people of America. And, you know, she's like, oh, this is part of the narrative. And then on MSNBC, I forget the host, she says, this is almost like it's been scripted. It's like a storybook. that you have the guy who grew up in Queens being prosecuted by the guy who grew up in Harlem, and Donald Trump was made in New York City. And she goes on and on about this and how it's come full circle. And this is part of the story, you know, the, it's almost like it's been scripted. I'm like, do they even hear themselves anymore? Like, do they hear what they're saying? And the rest of us are like, yeah, that's what we've been saying for years here, that this is all scripted. It's part of the script to take them down. And meanwhile, somebody else made this great point. I forget who it was. That all these DAs and all these attorney generals are part of the, you know, they want to reduce sentencing guidelines. They want to take off the gloves and have this revolving door justice system. They wouldn't call it that. Those are my words. But basically, you know, criminal reform. So they let people out of jail early on early release for good behavior or whatever. So they want criminal reform. And I think Donald Trump actually moved the needle the most of any president ever in the criminal reform policies. That was one of the big things he collaborated with, you know, one of the, I forget the heck, the Jenners. I can't remember which one, Kylie or one of the Jenners, but he actually said, yeah, come on in, let's do some work together on this. And they got a bunch of stuff done. So, he was the criminal reform president that reduced sentencing for a lot of people. And yet that's who these, you know, Bragg and James are. And yet they are throwing the book at Donald Trump for something that was expired on, as a misdemeanor, and the statute of limitations had expired on, but they were able to gerrymander it and bring it back as a federal charge. That's a felony. And Jonathan Turley actually points out great in Cut 12. We'll play that, Matt, how it's, they can't even articulate what it is he's done. So go ahead, play Cut 12.
Then what Bragg said was, well, I'm going to allege that you did false filings on business records to hide a crime. But he was very ambiguous what that crime might be. He still is ambiguous. But it is assumed to be a federal election crime. The problem is the federal government doesn't view it as a crime. They decided not to prosecute. And most election experts say that this is the type of thing that's failed in the past. So this bizarre indictment is now going to be an equally bizarre trial. And to this day, there's some confusion as to Bragg's actual theory as to what was the exact crime that Trump was hiding from all this.
So he can't articulate the crime, but yet the judge won't allow him to attend Barron's wedding, not yet. We're getting ahead of the game. Barron's graduation, right? So play the cut 14 where Trump comments on this.
We had some amazing things happen today. As you know, my son is graduating from high school, and it looks like the judge will not let me go to the graduation of my son, who's worked very, very hard. He's a great student. I'm very proud of the fact that he did so well. I was looking forward for years to have graduation with his mother and father there. It looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial. If you read all of the legal pundits, all of the legal scholars today, there's not one that I see that said this is a case that should be brought or tried.
My question for you is, and you can call 844-500-4242. Is this going to backfire? Judge Mershon is this is a situation where he should recuse himself. Judges have recused themselves for a lot less. He donated to the Biden campaign. He's an appointee, a Democratic appointee. And all of the political attributes of this case point towards trying to take out Democrats' opponent from being able to campaign, being able to hold rallies, being able to go to his own son's graduation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and make him sit in a courtroom for 5 to 6 weeks instead of being out on the campaign trail. And Just that alone. Like, think about that. Like, for jury selection, he's going to be at the courtroom. Like, what's he doing for jury selection, right? That, I can't imagine that is SOP. And I don't know if that's how they work in Manhattan or not. But I just can't imagine that the people aren't seeing through this as a total hit job, a total political witch hunt, a total political hack job where, you know, these DAs are put in place, these judges are put in place, and it's like, we're going to come calling someday. And when we do, you need to perform. And when they ran their campaigns, especially Letitia James and Alan Bragg, they actually said, I think it was Alan Bragg who said, the number one issue for him was, you know, basically get Trump. And so with all that being said, you're going after a guy who, let's not forget, if I can find it, I'm gonna find it. But Stormy Daniels actually wrote the letter, the to whom it may concern letter, saying she hasn't been paid hush money, she hasn't had an affair. She's like, I'm not denying that this affair happened because I was paid hush money. I'm denying this affair happened because it didn't happen. And so the irony of that is, you know, here we are trying to thread the needle, trying to kind of jam all this stuff together to come up with some sort of legal argument that the DA himself can't even articulate what the crime is here, and make sure he can't leave the courtroom, make sure he can't go to his son's graduation, make sure they take him off the campaign trail. I have a personal opinion that this is going to backfire big time. I can't imagine the American people forgiving the deep state or the Democrat Party for this. 844-500-4242. We'll go to the phones after this. You're listening to The Howie Carr Show. I'm Toby Leary.
Did you know that between hosting a four-hour radio show, multiple media hits, political advocacy, and walking Roscoe the Wonder Pug...
I call it a dog.
Howie still finds time to write three columns a week.
Oh, wow.
Read his latest at HowieCarrShow.com.
The Emperor of Hate, Howie Carr, is back.
And welcome back, and thanks to 617 for pointing out that it was Kim Kardashian, not Caitlyn Jenner, who was in favor of prison reform. So, prisoner reform. You're right, and I stand corrected. And I wouldn't stand here today and say that you can't tell the two apart. They're definitely big differences. Same family, though, so I was at least in the right family, right? But anyway, all right, enough of that. So let's go to the phones, as promised. Pete, you are up on the Howie Carr Show. How are you, Pete?
I'm well, Toby. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I'm 73 years old, and I can't remember this, the worst time in this country, the conditions that we're living under right now. This is nothing but an authoritarian extension of our federal government. And these people that are down there in Washington, these people are nothing but a bunch of damn nincompoops. And as far as everything's become overly politicized to the point where this whole thing, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, I think this whole thing with Trump is going to blow the hell up, and it's finally going to go away like a bad storm. And I also believe one of the biggest problems we have is Chuck Schumer in the Senate being the majority leader. This guy, he sifts through the bills and stuff. Well, I'll throw that one over in the corner and let it gather dust. You know, just like this situation with the impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas. That's not going to go anywhere, Toby. You know it as well as I do, right?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And I have that to talk about a little bit later in the show. But I'm definitely curious to see if they'll even have a trial or have a hearing or have a some sort of proxy, you know, go through the motions thing and say, oh, there's no here, you know, and basically dismiss it. But it'll be interesting to see where it goes. I mean, you want to talk about incompetence at the highest level or outright defiance to doing the very thing that you're tasked with doing. I think that you look no further than Mayorkas. And I agree with you what you said. And it is a sad day in America where so much has happened. And, you know, government has become so entrenched, especially the guys like Schumer and whatnot. And I don't think the founding fathers ever envisioned career politicians just being entrenched for that long and enriching themselves on the system. Like, I'm sure you can look back and see some of the founding fathers did long stints, like 12, 14, 16 years of in politics. But then at some point they went to their farm, they went to their businesses, they went to their estates. And, you know, I don't believe that they got rich off the system. I believe they were men of means when they went to Washington and started their political careers or during their political careers. But I don't believe that the system that is at play and happening right now is what the founders originally intended. Thanks for the call, Pete. Darren, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Dana. Darren.
Hey, Toby. How you doing?
Great, thanks.
Good to hear you on the radio. I just spent an hour at your range down at Cape Gunworks.
Nice.
And, yep, it was great as always. But no, I just wanted to bring up the fact that before President Trump got elected the first time, he said he was going to expose Washington. He said he was going to drain the swamp. He got into office for 4 years. They tried to get him out one way or another, and every way failed. After Biden got in, they started prosecuting him even more. But the problem is, the harder they tried to prosecute him, the more got exposed from the fake dossier to the people making up stories. Adam Schiff, you know, oh, I've got evidence. I've got evidence. There's no evidence.
Right.
And now, from New York to Washington D.C. to Georgia, I mean, everything. They're the deep state and the corrupt system is literally saying, hey, look at us, see what we're doing. None of it's legal, but they're exposing themselves to the public.
Right. Well, I wonder if to a certain extent, Darren, if it's self-preservation. They know if he comes in for round two, it's going to be very difficult to survive. That's my suspicion. And so it's desperation. It's the nuclear option, really. It's they have to attack him every chance they can because they know that if he comes back in office, further work will be done to expose the corruption and their entrenchment, frankly. You know, that's one thing I think that should happen every single time a new administration comes in. The staff that's entrenched there in those bureaucracies, I don't think should automatically get a free pass and just allowed to continue. They should have to take direction from the executive branch and not be allowed to just continue the status quo. Anyway, we'll be back after this. I'm Toby Leary, sitting in for Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. It's time for the poll question. I love MyPillow's products. I sleep with their pillows. I wear their slippers. I dry off with their towels. Now you can enjoy all of their products with great discounts by using the code Howie at MyPillow.com. From pillows, towels, slippers, and even their Giza Dream Sheets, go to MyPillow.com and use code Howie for amazing discounts. Matt, what is the poll and what are the results so far?
What should happen to the protesters that shut down bridges and airports? Nothing. Same as January 6ers. People should be allowed to remove them. They should be charged with a felony or they should be held financially responsible for damage caused.
I'm going to stick with my earlier answer that I think people should be allowed to move them. And I would put a little asterisk without any potential for criminal for, you know, I don't want to be held liable for their road rash as I drag them off the road. But
So people should be allowed to remove them has 9%. Should be held financially responsible has 14%. They should be charged with a felony has 34%. And same as the Jan Sixers has 42%.
Mm, interesting. I thought that one would be over 50%. Like, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. But you never know. But anyway, let's jump back to the phones. Actually, the phone lines are full, so well, filling up quick. But let's go to Ed. You've been on hold. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Toby. It's Ed in West Barnstable. Great to hear you filling in for Howie. Just wanted to chime in on this sham trial that's going on with Trump right now. And this is not my original idea, but other people have said it. And Trump should call this judge's bluff and say, I'm going to attend my son's high school graduation and I'm not going to be here. Mm. And just the logistics involved in trying to detain or jail a prior president. I mean, they have to provide a secure location. They have to, all the Secret Service goes with them everywhere. I understand it would be a nightmare. Mm. I think you should call their, easy for me to say, I'm not on trial.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. It's interesting. I actually haven't heard that. I've heard, because there's also another whole direction this could go. Like, he wanted to invoke presidential immunity, and the judge isn't even allowing him to use that as a legal defense. So I find it real interesting, but at some point, maybe you're right, and the legal, the lawyers should know, like, what the potential ramifications of that would be. Like, I wonder if he could hold them in contempt. And if you're held in contempt, then you're going to go to jail until the trial. Like, that's what, but he's also requiring to be in trial every day. So they're going to have to transport him back and forth from this secure location that Secret Service is going to have to set up a whole wing of, you know. It'd be interesting. So you raise a good point there, Ed, and I don't know what the answer is, but it's interesting to kick around. I hate to say to somebody else, we hear the story all the time of people who are like, I'm ready to be the test case. I'm not going to comply with, you know, licensing or assault weapons ban or whatever else. And it's like, well, you don't want to be the guy who goes to jail either until this is over. Like, that's kind of dumb. So don't do that. But I don't know. You never know what Trump's thinking, and calling it their bluff may or may not, if they're making him do the perp walk again, then maybe it would be good for him. I don't know. But I heard his attorney say they raised $1.2 million yesterday alone. And the average donation was $28. So the average American is just like, or as Katie Couric likes to call us, the anti-intellectuals are seeing right through this facade. But thanks so much for the call, Ed. Keith, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Keith.
Hey, how's it going? You're doing a really great job filling in for Howie.
Thank you, Keith. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, I've been listening for many years now, and I'm afraid I'm calling to disagree with something you said. You said that people are going to open their eyes and become angry at what's going on here. No, I don't think the Trump derangement crowd is going to be angry at all. I don't think they care.
Oh, I agree. And they're having their victory lap right now. They're giddy over it.
Yeah, they're out to get this guy by hook or by crook.
Right.
And if they're conscious of how wrong this is, then I think they believe that the ends justify the means.
Yeah, and those aren't the people I'm talking about, Keith. Like, I get that. Like, the Saul Alinsky's, you know, ends justify the means people are never, they don't care how they get Trump. They just want to get Trump. I'm talking about the average American voter. And, like, let's put it this way, the middle America, they might not be hard right, they might not be hard left, but they're good people. They're like, they just aren't into politics that much. They try to raise their families and whatnot. Those are the ones I'm questioning whether they're going to wake up and be like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I can see that, and I certainly hope so. And I don't think the trial itself, I don't think this is going to go anywhere either. What these people are, they're trying to take him off the playing field. And there has been an almost endless succession of big splashy headlines with almost nothing following behind it.
Right.
And this is just going to be another one of those. And can I share one more thing and then
yes.
I find it comical that people were so, liberals in particular, were so up in arms over Putin's political opponent winding up in prison and getting killed there when if that happened to Donald Trump, they'd be dancing in the streets.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they're trying to do.
No, that's a great point, Keith. I hadn't really thought of that, but you're 100% right. Like, when we were watching this rally in Chicago about the pro-Palestine thing, when they announced that Iran had attacked Israel, the crowd erupted. They're like, yeah! Like, they're cheering that things are escalating, that war might break out, and that good people might die, but... Thanks for the call, Keith. Great call. Let's go to Sketty. Sketty, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. How are you today? Good to hear from you again. I feel like we're old friends now.
Oh, well, thank you. I like that. Because everybody needs that warm, fuzzy feeling, right?
Right.
Especially this time and age where everybody feels so disconnected with their politics belief or whatever. Court. Household stuff that's going on. So, okay, just right away off the bat, I have to ask you. So you're on 95.1 on Saturdays, but you didn't say, is it FM or AM?
It's FM. It's on Sundays from noon to 1.
Sundays.
Yep, 95.1 WXTK down on Cape Cod. If you can't hear it on your dial, you can listen on the iHeartRadio app.
Right, Sundays.
Set your clock. You don't want to miss it, Sketty.
Right? Okay. I'm on it.
All right.
I'm all on it. But obviously, that's not why I called. First, I really feel like I need to make an apology to the gentleman that called in yesterday about the Planet of the Apes, that we should watch the ending of the show. I did. Did you?
You know what? I wanted to. I got there, and it was $3.99, and I cheaped out.
Okay, I've got a way for you and everybody in America, because I truly owe that gentleman an apology. I felt so bad.
Was it worth the watch?
Just go to YouTube, right? And let me get my eyeglasses on.
Oh, boy.
Don't tell us to do anything illegal,
Sketty.
No, this is all real. It's YouTube, Planet of the Apes, 1968 ending.
Okay.
And you will see the whole ending. And it gives you, like, a biography of the ending. So, like, you're not just seeing the last 50.
Oh, I see. Like, it's commentary.
They will show you, my goodness. It was
all
really
right, don't incredible. Ruin it for me, because I'm going to do it, I promise. And, you know, this is the second time in 2 days. It must be a thing. So I got to see it. So, all right. I should have done my homework. I didn't. I did read the Balfour Agreement, though. And I actually printed it and left it in my printer. I was going to read it. But thanks for the call, Sketty. I appreciate you. And yeah, please listen on Sundays. But yesterday we had that caller, Terry, who said, have you read it? Have you read it? And she said it was after World War II, and I'm thinking that doesn't sound right, but I did read it. It was from 1917, and nothing changes. Nothing changes in my opinion about Israel's ability to defend itself. But, you know, I understand. I think her point was that they were asked to be there, there was provisions for them to be there and coexist with the people, which I think they have done very well. And once they declared that they are a country, they were attacked by three different nations simultaneously. So anyway, I just was handed this hot off the press that Alvin Bragg wants the judge to fine Trump $3,000 and threatens jail time over alleged breaches of gag order. So if it comes down to $3,000 for him to breach the gag order, I'm sure he'll be like telling one of his accountants to go withdraw a big old bag of money, because I think that's money well spent if that's the case. But think about that for a second. The guy who's been convicted of perjury, Michael Cohen, can go on every talk show, can go on every talking head show, can do his TikTok lives and continue to lie about what's going on in that trial. And he's the star witness, is like a serial serial perjurer. And he can speak with impunity, right? He can speak no consequences. But Donald Trump's been given a gag order and can't speak at all about the trial. And he's been ordered to follow it. And now Alvin Bragg wants the judge to fine him and threaten jail time if he breaches the gag order. It is unbelievable. It is the silencing of a political candidate during the presidential election season. And so this article goes on to say he's still allowed to bash Marchand and Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, but is barred from ripping their families, according to the order. In one of his posts, Trump shared a 2018 statement from Daniels in which she denied the two had sex and falsely claimed that the statement was new. Daniels has repeatedly said that she was coerced into writing the statement and has called her alleged tryst with Trump the worst 90 seconds of my life. So the bottom line is, look at all the people who profited from this. You had Michael Avenatti, who the left and the talking heads and MSNBC anchors had their heyday with him when he was making the rounds, that, and at one point even suggested that he should run for president someday. And well, it turns out, you know, he was defrauding his own client out of money and everything else and ended up doing jail time, ironically. And the star key witness, Michael Cohen, has been found guilty of perjury. And even Stormy Daniels now saying that, oh, she was coerced into writing it, doesn't hold water or make sense either. Like, why would you ever write such a... And not only that, but she said this is the final word on the matter at the end of the letter if you read it. But, you know, it is Trump derangement syndrome on full display out of desperation that the deep state is going to have its day. You know, that's the only way I see it. They are pulling out all the stops, and now they want to fine him $3,000 and threaten to put him in jail for 30 days if he flouts the court order again. So I guess one of the ways he could flout the court order is if he goes to his son's graduation. I don't know if that holds the same as the violation of the gag order, but if he goes on any type of TV or news network and he talks about the case, then it's unbelievable how, you know, rules for thee and not for me. All right, quick break here. If you're on the line, we'll go to your calls after this. I'm Toby Leary, sitting in for Howie Carr.
Howie Carr, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Howie Carr Show.
Welcome back to The Howie Carr Show. We got a few minutes here, so let's go straight to the phones. Roger, you've been holding for a while. Thanks for holding. How are you today? Go ahead, Roger. Are you there? Still there? Nope. All right. Paul, you're next on The Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, Toby.
How are you?
I'm calling from the Cape.
All right.
I just want to know when we're going to have the night of the long knives and when we're going to have Kristallnacht the way these guys are going.
I don't know. It's crazy, but I encourage restraint. That's all I can say. You know, it's, I think they're doing themselves in, Paul, because really, unless you do suffer from TDS, you're like, what is going on? Where are we living? Are we in a third world country right now? Are we witnessing, this? Remember the elections in Iraq when Saddam Hussein was there, and he would win by like 99.7% of the vote. Like, everyone in the world knew that was a sham. Anyway, Carol, go ahead quickly, Carol.
Hi, I'm just wondering if they can take Donald Trump to court for no crime, when Donald Trump gets into office, can we take Holder and Obama to court for selling automatic weapons at the southern border to drug cartels and gangs, resulting in the deaths of more than 300 Mexican citizens?
Yeah.
When Trump took office, I believe the Mexican president said that he wanted to hold Obama accountable for that. And Donald Trump said, we don't do that to, our political rivals. We don't do that to former presidents. So, no, you can't do anything about it. But that was a highly destructive policy that Obama and Holder had. And they should be held accountable for it. And they belong in prison. I mean, Donald Trump doesn't belong in prison. They do.
Yeah.
That resulted in the murders of many, many hundreds of people, including Brian Terry.
Right. No, you bring up a great point, Carol. And by the way, Eric Holder defied a subpoena and should have been held in contempt of Congress, which they did to Roger Stone, which they did to Steve Bannon. So why did the Holder administration get away? Why did Holder get away with it during the Obama administration? They claimed attorney-client privilege is how they did it. And it's unbelievable when you think about how they wanted to actually pin all of that, not on the cartels and not on the FBI agents that, or the ATF agents that allowed all that to happen, but they wanted to pin it on the gun stores that were aiding the ATF in this investigation, thinking they're doing the right thing and saying that they are disseminating weapons into Mexico. It's unbelievable. Perfect example of what you're saying. Thanks for the call, Carol. We got the Chump line up next. Don't go away. We'll be back.